I want to talk to you today about being an ace. Everybody knows what an ace is. An ace is somebody that's really, really good. You know, we talk about making a hole-in-one. We call that an ace. In tennis, if you hit the ball over the net and your opponent can't hit it, we call that an ace. If you're a fighter pilot and you shoot down five enemy aircraft, we call that an ace. What that suggests is some skill and ability, some competency, some mastery, you know, excelling at whatever it is you do. I want to suggest to you that every one of us needs to think about how we can become an ace in life. Now, that's a challenging thing. You know, many of us don't have any concept of what that looks like. But let me just give you a sense of what an ACE is. I'm going to use the name ACE as an acronym. A stands for acquiring vision. C stands for clarifying vision. E stands for executing vision. An ACE is one that acquires a vision. You can never really excel at something if you don't acquire a vision. C stands for clarifying the vision. You cannot do well with your vision unless it becomes very clear to you exactly what you're going to do. And E, the execution. The execution is critical because most of the time, that's where aces or people that are trying to be aces fall down, is they are not able to execute at a high enough level to achieve the vision. In 1838, a man by the name of John Wanamaker was born in Philadelphia. John Wanamaker was a bright young man, and he loved his mother. So when he was 12 years old in 1850, he went to a jewelry store to buy her a Christmas gift, which you should do that to your mom. You should honor your mom and buy her Christmas gifts. So he goes to this jewelry store, and he finds a gift, and he tells the storekeeper, yeah, I'd like to have that gift. And while the storekeeper is pulling the gift out of the counter and wrapping it up, John spots another gift. And he says, wow, I think my mom would like this one even better. So he turns to the clerk and says, can I exchange this one for the one I just picked out? And the clerk said, no, you've already bought this one. That experience became a defining moment for John Wanamaker. At 12 years old, he realized how unkind and unfair that store owner was. So he determined in his heart that when I own my own store, I'm going to treat people fairly and kindly. At age 16, John Wanamaker went to work for an upscale retail store in Philadelphia, and he started out polishing brass knobs, probably the lowliest job you could get. So all he did every day is run around this very fancy store where all these ladies with their credit cards are running around buying things, and he's polishing the brass knobs. But as he's polishing these brass knobs, he's listening to everything that's going on in the store. He's watching everything that's going on in the store. In other words, he becomes a great observer of what's happening in this business. Some months later, he gets promoted into the sales department. So he is working now in sales in this clothing store. And some months after that, he gets promoted to management. So he has a very quick apprenticeship here in this business. When he turned 23, he and his brother-in-law went into their own clothing business. They opened up the business and they were in business together. Actually started their business right before the Civil War. And believe it or not, they prospered throughout the Civil War in Philadelphia. In about 1868, his brother-in-law died. And John changed the name of the store to John Wanamaker and Company and continued to build the business. By 1872, it was the largest retailer in the country. In 1876, John had a brilliant idea. He said, you know, what if I get a woman's store, and what if I get a dry goods store, and what if I get this farm implement store, and I'm going to put them all together under one roof? And that's what he did, and he created the world's first department store, John Wanamaker and Son. Excuse me, John Wanamaker and Company. But John wasn't satisfied there. John was a very progressive guy, and he remembered the lesson from that day in 1850 when He had bought that gift for his mother when that storekeeper had been so unkind to him, and he determined, I will never treat customers that way. John is the one that installed policies like, you could return your merchandise. Okay? He's the first one that began to put price tags on merchandise. Did you realize they didn't have price tags back then? You'd come in and you'd see something you want to buy, you haggled. Okay? I'll give you this. Any of y'all try to do business in Mexico or other countries of the world? You have to haggle. Well, John didn't do that. John had one price. We put it on the merchandise, and we tell you the terms of sale. You got 2 weeks. You can bring this back. You can exchange it. You know, just bring it back undamaged, et cetera, et cetera. So John did business very, very honestly, very openly, because John was a believer. He had become a believer at 12, and he had determined to integrate his Christian life into everything he did. So he looked at business as a place to apply Christianity. Unlike today, where people view Christianity as having nothing to do with business. And we have a society trying to remove Christianity from business. But he viewed it as a place to apply it. So he was a very faithful man to that. And as that man that was faithful to it, he did lots of things. He's the first one, as far as we know, that actually installed a benefits program for his employees. He offered them paid vacations. He offered them holidays. He offered them educational assistance. He offered them health care, life insurance, and a pension plan. Sounds like what we have today, isn't it? Well, it goes back to John Wanamaker. John Wanamaker is the first person that used electric lights in the store. He's the first person that used air conditioning in a retail store. Believe it or not, he's the first person that offered weather forecasts in a retail store. You know, back then you couldn't dial up Channel 8 and get a weather forecast. So he offered that as a service. He also had a telegraph station on the roof and actually reported the sinking of the Titanic to his customers before the rest of the city knew it. John Wanamaker was a leader. He was a visionary. He was an ace. He understood how to acquire vision. He started out with that little vision when he was 12. I'm not going to do this. A negative experience was turned into a positive vision for him. And then as he walked along the process of learning the business, he began to get clarity about what to do and how to do it. And then he executed it with excellence. Now, you know, he had obstacles along the way. He had to overcome a lot of issues. You know, it wasn't, I mean, I painted a picture, it sounds like just a cakewalk, but it was not a cakewalk. Lots and lots of challenges for John Wanamaker. But he pressed through, and he did what Coach Landry said. Coach Landry said, it's not about setting goals. It's about being committed to stay in the pain to get to the goal. Okay? That's how you become an ace. John Wanamaker stayed in the pain of getting there. He suffered through the pain of the loss of his brother-in-law. Had to overcome that to press on. He suffered through a lot of rejection, you know, by the locals. Because, you know, anytime somebody is doing well, most of the people around you begin to get jealous, don't they? And then they start sabotaging and trying to hurt you. So he had to fight all of that off. But he pressed in and pressed through. So John Wanamaker was an ace. An ace that I think is worthy of emulation. So what I want to do today is I want to challenge us. Do we want to be aces in life? If we want to be aces in life, we've got to do what John Wanamaker did. First of all, we've got to get vision. We have to acquire a vision. A vision starts in the heart. Okay, it's what's in here. You may have noticed recently there was a lady whose daughter was killed in Mesquite on 635. And this lady now has a vision for something. She realized the problem that caused the death of her daughter was there was no barrier between the two lanes and the section of LBJ where her daughter was killed. And a truck had actually come across the median and hit her daughter and killed her. So she's decided, I'm going to do something about this. The death of her daughter has given her vision to do something. Now she began to seek out how to do it. She found a process to put wires up, okay, which has never been done in this state. But the Department of Public or the Highway Department looked at it, tested it, evaluated it, and determined that this was a good place to try this system. She was able to get them to agree to do this, and it's being installed as we speak. Because this woman had vision, She clarified the vision, and she executed the vision. Now see, that's just an anecdotal evidence, but we can take that same concept and apply it to all of life. Okay, it can apply to your family, it can apply to your personal life, it can apply to your marriage, it can apply to your business, it can apply to your church relationships, it can apply to government. Whatever you do, you can be an ace if you'll follow the three-step process of John Wanamaker. Acquire a vision, okay, clarify the vision, execute the vision. You know, it's a challenge for all of us to be an ace, okay? But, you know, we have a choice. You know, we can choose to not be an ace, or we can choose to be an ace. We have the tools and the resources in Christ and in the power of His Holy Spirit to do whatever we need to do. Okay? That's the thing, you got to get it. You know, we keep thinking about, well, I mean, I don't have anything. That's right. You don't have anything unless it's given to you. Somebody wrote me an email recently, a lady that I oversee, and she's saying, I just feel like I have nothing to give. And I said, you don't. All you can give is what's been given to you. I mean, that's reality. You can't do what's not been given to you. You can't have a vision that's not been given to you. What you want to do is clear the blocks out so you can begin to acquire the vision. You know, there's sin patterns in our lives. There's hurts and pains. All kinds of issues of life come in the way of us acquiring the vision. Then when we get to clarifying, we get to thinking we know, and we try to clarify it by ourselves. And God didn't make us to work that way. You know, sometimes I think it's God's joke on us that we have to depend on each other. But that's reality. My wife and I learned the hard way that together we can make pretty good decisions. Individually, we're not very smart. And we make lots of mistakes. So we have learned to work as a team. I'm trying in my business life to work more in connection with other people. Earlier in my career, I was pretty independent. I was a lone ranger trying to do my own thing. But I learned that didn't work very well. What works is tapping into the resources that God has given you, because everybody in this room is different from me. And when I embrace that difference and take advantage of that difference, wow, there's a lot of power. Try to play football, and everybody is a skinny wide receiver. Okay, if I'm the quarterback, I know I don't have any protection, because those guys are not going to block the 300-pound lineman. You need big guys to block the lineman. So God has given us all this diversity, and if we use it right, guess what? You can go to the Super Bowl if you play the game right, if you take advantage of God's system. And that's what this is all about, learning to take advantage of God's system. There are a lot of impediments along the way, and we have to learn to deal with those impediments and learn to turn those impediments into assets for us. Okay? John Wanamaker's experience was a hard experience. Can you imagine a 12-year-old boy and this mean shop owner, you know, looking at him down over his glasses and saying, nope, you can't exchange that. You bought it, you got it. I mean, that's a pretty cruel experience for a 12-year-old. Remember the movie Patriot? Mel Gibson plays Ben Martin. He starts out the movie, he's a pacifist. He has no interest in participating in the War of Independence. Then he loses one of his sons to the cruelty of Colonel Tavington, a British colonel who was a tyrant, and who was using all kinds of practices that were terrorizing the community. The little boy is shot in the back by this colonel when the little boy is trying to help his brother. When that event happened, that became a defining moment for Ben Martin. Because Ben Martin then transformed from a man with a vision to be a pacifist to a man with a vision to save his sons. And then that vision got clarified as he got into the reality of what was going on, that the British were not going to be people that would provide an environment for safety and prosperity for his family. So he clarified it and got a vision for independence and led the militia in South Carolina as they fought the British. At the very end of the movie, he's lost both his two of his sons. He's lost a daughter-in-law to British tyranny. He is war-weary and tired, and Colonel Tavington is still there. His nemesis, the man that's inflicted so much pain on his family and the families of those around him, but Ben Martin rallied to the cause. He realized that it was not about his pain. It was about achieving the vision. And that's what we have to get to. We've got to get it that it's not about our comfort. Okay? It's not about our pleasure. It's not about what we want to do. It's accomplishing a vision that's been put in our heart to do. So in the final battle of this particular movie, Ben Martin and Colonel Tavington square off. Ben Martin is battle weary. He is tired, but he's going to fight this battle anyway. Well, the colonel gets the upper hand and strikes some blows that puts Ben on his knees. And you could see he's sitting there on his knees, about ready to say, I give up. The colonel is ready to behead him with his sword. And all of a sudden, Ben sees something. Y'all remember what he saw? He saw the battle flag. He saw the battle flag advancing against the British. And the scene is just so graphic because it's like it refocused him. It's like, okay, I understand where I am. I understand what I'm about, where I'm going. I'm going for victory. My vision is victory over the British. So as he mustered that resolve and that refocus, strength came back in him. And he ducked as the colonel struck the blow. The colonel's blow missed him. He turned around and he executes the colonel. Now, that is such a picture of what we all need to do. We are all weary. Some of us are more weary than others. There are times we feel very weary and discouraged, like there is no hope. I mean, this is just a terrible position I'm in. I feel hopeless. I feel I have no way out of this. But there's always a way of escape. And the way of escape comes by getting refocused on the vision, trusting that God is going to give you the strength and the resources to execute that vision. So that's the call today. That's the challenge. I pray that out of our discussion today, you will take at least one key idea home. Okay? If you do, then you have an opportunity to become an ace. And by the way, John Wanamaker, you know what happened to him? When he died in 1922, the flags were lowered to half-mast. His school was let out. The newspaper ran an article on him calling him the most eminent citizen of the city. Now, this was a man who was very, very well-known for his faith. He practiced it every day. He saw his work as a place to apply his faith every day. And it's not just witnessing. It is living based on biblical principles. He looked to the Bible as his manual for management, as his manual for marketing, as his manual for how to sell, as his manual how to serve my customers. He looked to the Bible to define that for him. Contrary to what we're doing today, we've thrown the Bible out and now we're writing all these books about men's opinion about how to do that. But the reality is this man walked with an integrated Christian life at a level that I have not seen, I don't think, in my life. And he touched the city in such a deep and profound way with the excellence with which he conducted his business that at his funeral was the governor, these were the pallbearers, the governor of Pennsylvania, the mayor of New York City, the mayor of Philadelphia, the chief justice of the Supreme Court, and Thomas Edison. I don't know who the sixth one was, but those are five of his pallbearers. Is this a man that was an ace? Okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. I hear this every time. He's an exception. He's not an exception. No. He's a man that grabbed hold of vision and stayed the course, clarified it, and executed it, overcame the obstacles, walked through the pain. Every time he came into a problem, a situation, he looked for a way to move forward. Obstacles never brought him back. He moved forward continually through life, and so he became an ace in life, and all of life. He was an ace at home, as a husband, as a father. He was an ace in his church. He taught Sunday school for years at his church, helped establish six churches in Philadelphia. He helped and financed one of the Crusades of Billy Sunday. He was an ace in his business. He modeled for others how to serve customers with excellence. He pioneered the department store and the modern way that we do business. So you see the impact of a man with vision to walk in the reality of the kingdom of God. It is pervasive. It is huge. And I'm sure John didn't have a clue of all of his impact. But we're experiencing it today. Oh, and by the way, where's John Wanamaker & Company today? It's called Lord & Taylor. Okay? And if you go to their website, which Lord & Taylor is owned by May Company, and if you go to their website, you will see they still have remnants of John's influence. They have a very clear statement of high ethical values, but they've lost their Christian roots, which is sad. But we don't have to do that. We can maintain those roots, and we can live in the reality of a biblical worldview in the marketplace, and we can be aces. So I pray that today you got a new thought to be an ace.